means, but some of you will. Right, I want to ask you a question. I want to tell you a story. We got 11 grandchildren. And this is what happens. They're grown up now, 21 to 11. You know everything. You and all, my wife knows all the birthdays. I don't know them, but I still have to write the checks out. Now listen, every time from once they were able to toddle in, they'd come to the door, Mo would race to the door. And they'd be falling out of the car, Nana, Nana, Nana. And Mo would be there, great Nana, and she would be hugging them. I would stay in the lounge because I knew my position in the family. So I would wait. And then they'd come running into me. I just made no move. And they'd stop. And I'd say, "Who are you?" And they'd look at me. And I remember one of them saying, "I'm your granddaughter Delilah, Grandpa." I said, "No, who are you?" And I'd play this game on every grandchild. And even as they grow older, and when they get older, I say now to the men, they've got four grandsons, they come in, you know, "Who are you?" And they go, "I'll tell you who I am, Grandpa." This is true recently. And one of my granddaughters, the one from Cheltenham, I said, "Who are you?" She goes, "I'm Damaris. I'm Damaris, Grandpa." By the way, her mother is running in the marathon. So I'll be saying, "God, she must beat Bramwell, even though she's a woman." So anyway, but the question is this. Listen, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm a God. Listen, not interested in that, sort of. Who are you? Do you know who you are? Now, there are many, many descriptions in the Bible who we are. I'm going to just talk on one of them. And when I tell you what it is, if you are prepared to believe it, it will change out your life. It will determine how you act at work amongst your neighbors. I'm going to read. And I hope this will come up. It's from 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10. But you, excellent. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. There it goes. A holy nation, God's special possession. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Who are you? The one I want to take is this. You are a chosen people. You are a chosen individual. You're chosen. Kim, you're chosen. Listen, get it into your spirit. You are chosen. God chose you. It's incredible truth. Talk about a confidence builder. I went to these funerals. I mean, three of them were utterly like, what's the word? Massively people they don't believe. I know it. And I'm thinking, this last one was my brother-in-law, and I met people from my home area I was in school with, and they said to me, "Oh, I thought you were taking the service. I was just the speaker." But I remember thinking, "Yes, but just wait till I get up and say something." Right? Why? Because I'm chosen. You're chosen. You think, it's powerful. So, it determines how we think, how we speak to people, what we expect from people. So, four things I'm going to say about being chosen. Number one, certainty is our birthright. Did you hear that? You, listen, because you're chosen, we're tempted, "Well, I'm the only one, and can you really know what's happening and believe what's going on these days?" And you know, all this business about sexuality and all kinds of things. And listen, certainty is your birthright. a result of being chosen. You can be certain. Any absolutes. Listen, it is all absolutes with God. Can we have the next slide up, please? Can we have the next one up? What's coming behind me? Can we move it on? It should be 1 Peter 1:18-20. Who can give him a hand? Or her? Let's have a go. Well, I tell you, it talks about Jesus being chosen. Jesus, I was chosen before the foundation of the world. And, I mean, are we through it? Excellent. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. You see, it's amazing. We may have great parents and all that, but they hand down in part an empty way of life to us. But we were born again with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but it was revealed in these last days for our sake. So, all I'm saying is this: certainty is our birthright. Jesus was chosen. We are chosen. We're part of the family of God. Can we pick up the slide, please, on Galatians 4:7? Well, listen, don't worry about it. I'm just going to go on. But you'll find there in Galatians 4:7 and Romans 8:17, there are verses like this. We are heirs of the Father and joint heirs with the Son. And so we have a certainty because we are part of the family of God. Now, the second thing I want to say is that we are chosen in contrast from those who don't believe. Now, just listen to that. We are chosen in contrast from those who do not believe. I'll read this out to you. It's 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. To God's elect, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. And then I'm going to read from Galatians. It'll hold us up a bit. Galatians, where are we? 6, verse 3. If anyone thinks they are something they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should take... I'm just a bit lost here, but... Let me just say this. One, it's our birthright. Two, we are chosen in contrast with those who do not believe. Yes. And, by the way, there's no ground of boasting. Because you can say, well, I've been chosen and my neighbor hasn't. That gives us no ground of boasting. That was the point when I said I was a bit lost. It was about, don't be deceived. We cannot strut the walk and say, you know, there must be something about me. I am chosen. Because that is just not true. I'm developing something here about being chosen. And the only thing to boast about is this, that Jesus died for me, God raised him from the dead, and God has chosen me. There is nothing more to boast about. The Apostle Paul says, I don't glory in anything other than in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the third thing I want to say about being chosen, it is part of the mystery of God. I'm going to quote some verses here. Ephesians 3:2-4. If you're taking notes at this point, Ephesians 3:2-4 and Colossians 2:2. And what it says is this.
that
the gospel is spoken of in terms of mystery. You know, great is the, Paul says, great is the mystery of the gospel. Great is the mystery of God. And the word mystery comes up time and time again. What I was going to do, I was going to give you through a few verses that are going to come up on the screen, but they're not going to come up on the screen. So all I'm going to remind you is that you look out in Scripture, you will see the word mystery popping up over and over again. Yes, look at this one. Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Excuse me. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of God. See, being chosen is part of the mystery of the gospel. That's why we got nothing to boast about. You can say, I don't understand it. You may not understand it. I may not understand it. I certainly don't understand God's choosing us. But it's in the Bible. It's part of the mystery of God. And the fourth thing I want to say about being chosen is the purpose why we're chosen. Now, at this point, I want to throw it back on you. Why are we chosen? Come on, why are we chosen? Why has God chosen us? In his mystery, why has God chosen people? For his glory? It's a very good answer. You know what I'm going to say? It's not the answer I've got on the card here. But it doesn't matter. But it's a correct answer. Yes. Pardon? To follow him, very good answer. Sorry? Aha. We're chosen for his will to be done. That is true. Come on, anything else? Why has God chosen us? To help other people? Very good answer, sorry? Yes, because he loves us. Hold on, let me get to hear this one. It's my hearing. That's very good. That's very good. He's chosen us to do good works. Do you know where it comes from? Well, my bit comes from Ephesians 2, but if yours comes from Romans, I won't argue with that. We're chosen to do good works that have been prepared for us. To spread the good news. Fine. Now, let me give it to you. Let's turn to Romans 1. Chapter 1, verse 5. This is what Paul says. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And we are chosen to obey. Not an obedience, just listen to this. Not, I must obey to make God like me, or I must obey because God is my boss, or because God is full of mystery, I must obey him because there's an element of anxiety about it. Or I must obey him because I want him to know I really believe him. The truth is, we are called to believe, and following faith is obedience. A totally different thing. A faith that, you know, it's better be careful here. The illustrations come to me. A man buys his wife flowers on Valentine's Day. He's motivated by something within because I love. I don't even worry about what the price is. Because I have faith, I don't worry about my obedience. If you want to know what the thing is, I didn't buy my wife flowers on Valentine's Day. That's better be honest with that one. But you see, we're chosen. God has changed our lives, and we are called to obedience from the faith. We believe it produces obedience. And listen, there's no boasting in that. The whole thing is a mystery. Jesus has died for us. God raised him from the dead. The Bible says the same power that raised him from the dead will raise us up also. And we say, I believe that, God. I really believe you. And therefore, I want to obey you. I want to do what you call me to do. So, Peter says, back to 1 Peter, he says, you are a chosen people. You know, when we go to work, when you go to work, I don't go to work, I just stay at home, painting my nails. But wherever we go, work, shopping, filling the car up, talking to the neighbors, we have this great sense in us. And we know it's a mystery to us, it'd be a mystery to unbelievers or people who are on their own volition, don't believe, and they say it. That thing is, I am chosen. There's a sense of occasion about it. There's a sense of dignity about it. Now, you may have a load of questions, but I would beg you, don't get distracted by thousands of questions about which you do not know the answers. Trust in the mystery of God. Listen, I certainly don't have all the answers about the things I preach. I don't have all the answers about choosing. But when I read the Bible and it says you're chosen, I'm going to believe it. I am chosen. I'm certainly not going to brag about it. But there are questions that I'd like to bring up very quickly. And the first is this. How do I know I am chosen? What's the answer to that? How do we know we are chosen? Come on. The Bible says so. How do we know we are chosen? We believe in him. That's true. Come on. Don't go quiet on me. How, if I said to you, Irene, how do you know you are chosen? What are you going to say to me?
Because I'm a child of God.
Pardon? Because we are sure of the calling. Well, let me say this to you. Don't you think it's a bit subjective? So somebody can say, well, you're sure, I'm not. Come on, how do we know? Where do we get the certainty from? I'm chosen. Excellent. The Spirit. Let me read to you. And if you've got your Bibles with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. This is just one verse that tells us this. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. Oh, yes. Is it up there? Yes, yes. Thank you. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. One of the works of the Spirit is to just gently speak into us and remind us of our certainties. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, the praise of his glory. There is, what's the term? The witness of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. See, how do we know? Listen, it is not wrong to be subjective as well as the need to be objective about our relationship with God. And part of the subjectivity is this. There is a witness of the Spirit. Do you know, when I was born again over Easter 1956, I went to a Welsh National Youth Convention, about 4,000 young people. Those were the days. And it was over the Easter weekend, and I came home with the Baptist Church, and we had a coach, went up to the valleys, and I came home late on Easter Monday. Now, this is gospel truth. I woke up the next morning with I didn't think I knew the term then, but I had an
utter witness that I was born again. I never answered an appeal over that weekend. I never felt conviction of sin. But I just knew when I woke up in the morning, I was born again. What was that? There was nothing more than the Holy Spirit witnessing with my spirit that I was a child of God. And by the grace of God, I've never doubted it. I have looked back. I have disobeyed. I have sinned, but I've never doubted it. It's a witness of the Holy Spirit. You're a chosen people. How do I know? Can anyone be chosen? Because that'll be a big one. Well, what's the answer to that? Why? Just who said that? No, I won't hear that. Because that's what who wants. Right. Give us some scriptures for that. Didn't get it. That's what God wants. I said, why? How do we know we can be chosen? Well, anyone. See, Jesus said, it's not my Father's will that any should perish. Because you can panic here and say, are you saying God's chosen? Well, what about all these people out there? Does it mean they're not chosen? Well, all I'm saying to you, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. And there are other scriptures that I'm just quoting that Jesus says, it is not my Father's will that any should perish. Whosoever will may come. And this sounds cockeyed, but I'm going to say to you, you can choose to be chosen. Now, that may not make me capable of teaching in a theological college, and it certainly wouldn't satisfy the pure Calvinists. But you see, if you see on the one hand you are chosen in the Bible, I'm going to believe that. If you see on the other hand, you know, whosoever will come, I'm going to believe that. If I read, it's not my Father's will that any should perish, I'm going to read that. And I can't marry the both up. I'm not even attempting to marry the both up. But I'm going to face the question, can anyone be chosen? You can choose to be chosen. You think that's ridiculous. Well, I'll leave it there. It satisfies me. Let me tell you, I'm always meeting people with millions of bigger, better gifts than me. I know God would say, that's ridiculous, Ben. Be satisfied with what I've done for you. But I do look at people, I think, oh, dear me. But there's one gift I have. And from the day I became a Christian, unresolved questions have never worried me. For this one reason, actually, God is so big and great is the mystery of godliness. I say, God, I just don't understand it, but I trust you on these issues. But I've got a third question. If God chooses, do we need to evangelize? You're a chosen people. Folks, you are chosen. The question must come, do we need to evangelize? If God's going up and down the street saying, hey, I'm choosing you. Do we say, well, stay at home and fill your pipe and smoke it? Watch telly? Read a book or a novel or a magazine? What's the answer? Do we need to evangelize? Sir, tell me why. He says, of course. You're a great singer and you led worship well today. What's your name?
Jude.
Was it Jude last time I talked to you?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Right, all right. It's just that I can't remember names. Right, Jude. Tell us why. You say yes.
It goes back to your last point. You can choose to be chosen.
So okay. Yes.
It goes back to your first point because we were sealed by the blood of
God. Yes, the Holy Spirit sealed. Give us another scripture, or let's get everybody involved. Give us some Bible verses about.
Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 that we should go out and make disciples.
Yes. Jesus said, "Make disciples of all nations." So I send you. Yeah. So you say, well, you know, Ben Dave's come along and said, you know, God has chosen people. Why do I need to do door knocking? Why do I need to sing at the Lewisham place at Christmas? You don't need to, because anyway, God's done the whole thing anyway. No. We just need to fulfill the will of God. And you say, well, I'd like to know who's chosen. Don't worry about it. The Bible says the Spirit moves where he wills. And on the one hand, you've got the sovereignty of God, and the other hand, human responsibility. And it all comes from you are chosen. Right. Very quickly, three applications. Because we're chosen, we need to do what Peter suggested, 1 Peter 1:10 to 12. Hey, this is excellent. Now, just look at this. It's the same Peter who's saying you're chosen. He's written this same book. Concerning this salvation, the prophets, this is the only example, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care. We're in a much better, having a much better deal than the prophets. Agreed? We know about it. They, with great intensity and greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Can we have the next slide from that? Now, let's have a look at it. Let's have a look. Doesn't matter. I'll read it out whilst you look for it. What did I quote? 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. Here we are. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12. They were trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ was in them was pointing when he predicted the suffering to the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. Now listen, one of the greatest scourges on any local church is narrow-mindedness. One of the greatest scourges in any local church is it's all about me, as if we are the one and only chosen generation. The prophets, motivated by the same spirit in us, they are looking ahead because they knew they were not just serving themselves, but they were serving future generations. Folks, it's a great sort of application. I am chosen. What's one of the results? There are many results. I'm just picking out three. What's one of the results? It's this. I'm never going to stay static. I'm thinking it's about me, yes, but it's about future generations. That's why you want to spend money on the building. It's not for you only. It's about future generations. That's why I want to keep preaching until the breath is taken out of body, because it's about planning the future generations, preaching in for the future generations. That is an application. Ben, why are you chosen? Well, I'm certainly not chosen to defend the wrong legacy. I'm chosen to think I'm building for tomorrow. And when I die, if what I have longed for hasn't happened, it doesn't matter. I am still building for tomorrow. The second application is this. It's 1 Peter 1:22. Therefore, let's get it right. Yes, what Peter 1:13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Folks, if you're chosen, it doesn't mean you just sit back on your haunches and just like be cool. It means this. My mind must be alert. I'm chosen. I want to be alert. God, show me where you're working. God, what must I do to be part of this mystery? God, how can I participate in this amazing call on my life and this amazing choice of my life? Folks, be alert. Don't get dragged down to being laid back. Too many Christians are laid back. Be alert. Be alert in praying. And when Irene or Gideon or anybody else talks from the front about, you know, about money and about people being saved, be alert about it. It's part of the deal because it's in us. The Spirit's in us. And anyway, we're chosen, part of this incredible mystery. It doesn't allow us, well, he doesn't want us to, well, you know, let it just wave past me. No, I want to be alert. I want my mind to keep thinking. And the third thing,
1 Peter 1:22. I'm just, these are just bits I'm taking out. Now that you've been purified, now that you have purified yourself by obeying the truth. Listen, we need to purify ourselves. I'd love to do a series on this here, but one a month would be too big a gap. But to a chosen, we're a priesthood of all believers, we're a holy nation. Folks, if you say, I'm chosen for what? Purify yourselves. Well, Jesus purified us. God purifies us. The Holy Spirit purifies us. We were also in company with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. We are to purify ourselves. The Bible says that. It linked up with be alert, overcoming temptation. Listen, I'm not talking as a theorist. I know exactly what temptation is like. And I have a memory that tells me that I know exactly what failure is like. And I hate it. But I also know the power of the blood of Jesus. That as far as east is from the west, God has removed our sins from us. We need to keep on overcoming temptation, overcoming demonic activity in our lives, purifying ourselves. I'm going to end up with a story. My eldest brother, who's 25 years older than me, and don't ask what your parents do in between time. There were eight between him and me, so there were 10 of us. But my eldest brother's a Baptist minister. I'm telling you the story. In 1962, I was training at Spurgeon's College, and he was a Baptist minister in Galla Shields, in the borders of Scotland. I went up before Easter vacation, to visit him. And he had living with him and his wife, he had two daughters, his wife's father, his father-in-law, an old boy. He was about 90, godly man. He'd been a tent evangelist of yesteryear. I won't tell you which denomination. He wasn't a Baptist, and he wasn't Church of England. I won't go any narrower than that. And he was always reading his Bible. And I went out for a walk with my brother, and I said, Reg, I said, your father-in-law, he's an incredible guy. He's always reading his Bible. My brother said, yes. And we came back home, and as we neared the house, my brother said to me, don't make a noise. So he says, we go up the path, double-fronted house, room either side of the front door, and in the lounge, he said, just look into the window. So I look into this old boy, he's reading the Daily Telegraph. My brother said, don't make a sound. And we came in round the side entrance at a side gate. When we got in the house, he said, go make a noise and go into the lounge. So I make a noise. I go in there, he's reading the Bible. Interesting, isn't it? Let me tell you something. He was saved, all right. I don't know if he believed in being chosen, but he was. He certainly believed in the witness of the Spirit. But what he'd forgotten was, because of all these wonderful things, he didn't have to act and pretend. Too many of us think, I better show my best side to them. It's very British. And don't say some of you are not British, because you just get sucked into the culture. Because culture's like that. Listen, because you're chosen, you don't have to pretend. You can be yourself. You agree with that? Because you're chosen, you can be yourself. Because you're chosen, it doesn't matter if a guy sees you read the Bible or the Daily Telegraph or the Sun. It just doesn't matter, because you can be yourself. Because the God who chose you when you were dead in trespasses and sin, he can cope with you. Now I'm reading the Bible, now I'm reading the Daily Telegraph or the Racing Times or something. That's a bad thing. There we are. I'm sorry it's been a bit bitty. I'm trying to coincide with what's coming up on the screen. Let's pray. Now listen, as we pray, is there anything you feel, oh, God spoke to me about an issue? Just say to God, God, please, I want that to be put right. It could be anything. It could be a bit of doubt. God, I find it difficult to believe that you're such a mystery and you choose. What about other poor beggars? Listen, leave the other poor beggars to God. It's what about you? And Father, we come to you as we are. You know us, Lord. We know you know us. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us and called us and changed us. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven us. We thank you that your mercy is like an ever-flowing stream. We thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we say, oh God, we're so glad that your mystery is so enormous that we don't have to worry about things. Father, thank you. And now, God, I ask you, God, would you demonstrate your choosing across the thousands of people who live in Greenwich? Please, God. And you can send them to whatever church you like, Father. We know that. But we'd like you to send us a few. And as you're sitting there in a mode of prayer, I say to the visitors, God bless you. God have mercy on you. God causes face to shine upon you, you visitors. And you regulars now. The same thing for you. God have mercy upon you. God cause his face to shine upon you. God answer prayer in your lives. God pour grace and love and width and bigness into your hearts. And for all of us, God cause us to be obedient because of our faith. And all the people said, Amen.